Our scripture for today concerning the good news of God's promises is from the Old Testament, Joshua, the first chapter, beginning Joshua, verses 1 through 9. And this is in the New International Version. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and that's the desert to the south, Lebanon to the north, and from the great river, the Euphrates, on the east, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. He covered north, south, east, and west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and to our hearing of it. Well, if you were here last Sunday, as we celebrated 115 great years of Boscadale Baptist Church being a grand presence and an influence standing on this hill, standing here as witness and ministers for Jesus Christ and his church. And most of you were here. Bless your hearts. I hope you remember one of the great ministries of this church that I spoke about last Sunday, the Bible study times of the church. Well, yes, that Bible study ministry has almost always been called Sunday school. And there's a splendid historical record of Sunday school Bible study being one of the major beginnings, one of the first established cornerstones of this church. You remember what I said? I reminded us last Sunday that for the first few years, the major time of the church, the major time we would gather for was for Bible study. It was for Sunday school. The Sunday school groups gathered every Sunday, while church worship services were held only every other Sunday. And of course, I had to remind you of this, didn't I? Because of the dreadful coronavirus that's plagued the world for about 2 years now, the big problem of gathering in small groups and small group spaces has forced us and so many other churches to have to temporarily abandon the Sunday school time on Sundays for too long a period now. You see, studying the Bible together in small group settings in the church, having a real Sunday school time, has over the years been one of the primary and best ways that we have grown up. Doing serious Bible study, working with a teacher and each other to see and to learn the truths of the whole Bible. And many of us are hoping and praying for the time when we get to go back to that hour of group worship, group Bible study, for that hour every Sunday just prior to the worship hour that's going to follow. The worship hour that we have been blessed to be able to retain. Okay. Bible study is good. How do you study your Bible? How do you study it now? When? And how? Well, hear me carefully with that question. I didn't just say read. I said study. I believe the time and effort a person spends regularly studying the Bible is some of the most important and some of the most influential time of your life as a real bona fide Christian. Through serious study, getting to know and getting to love better and more the Almighty God, our loving Father God. Basically and essentially, the Bible contains a message of good news, a message that concerns God that should be of great interest to, well, it ought to be of great interest to every human being. In your own study, have you found that good news? And finding it, have you looked for more? Because there's always more. And some have taken a look, but have never been able to make sense of the real good news of the Bible that has been the good news for the hearts and lives of people everywhere. And maybe, probably, this is because of the perspective from which they approach the Bible, their perspective on the Word of God. Tragically, many only see dark, harsh things in the Bible. And there's some of those, there really are some of those, because of the imperfect, sinful nature of mankind. Well, starting with the rebellion of the first human couple who chose to obey their own desires rather than God's one, "Thou shalt not," in their time in Eden. Consequently, not studying enough to find God's loving redemption, finding only the flaws of mankind and not God's remedy for our flaws, the Bible that skeptics only partially and wrongly read provides no uplift, no encouragement for them. And I want to say to them, come on, keep reading and get to God's remedy. Get to His life-changing, life-giving promises. See, one of the most profitable goals in studying the Bible is the discovery of the exceedingly great and precious promises that our Lord has given to us. The great apostle Peter really highlights this in his second letter, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, all that He's given to us, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Well, I don't think I could have said it better myself. Seriously, the Bible is indeed a book of promises right from the very beginning. The first great promise is the announcement of judgment found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which says, "I will make you and the woman hostile toward each other." This is God speaking to, Satan. "I will make you and the woman hostile toward each other. I will make your descendants and her descendants hostile toward each other. You he will crush your head. Now, he's gotten down to there, who is the descendant of Eve? He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. Of course, God is there speaking to Satan, who has just deceived and just misled his first human target, Eve. The promise both to the devil and to the devil's minions and to a sinful human Eve, the representative mother of mankind, is really an indirect promise two ways. It's an indirect promise to sinful humans of a deliverer and a redeemer, a savior who will crush the head of Satan, while Satan only achieves a bruise on the heel of the Christ. Well, that bruise was healed in 3 days anyway. Then the Bible closes. That's where we open. And the Bible closes in the last chapter and the next to last verse with a promise of our living Lord to return for the redeemed. This is Revelation 22:20. Jesus, the one who says these things are true, says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." In the hundreds and hundreds of pages between these two biblical references, Genesis to Revelation, there are literally hundreds of promises from God to his people. Every great biblical spiritual giant, in every significant spiritual movement throughout the Bible, moved themselves ahead, grew in their faith because of their trust in the many, many precious promises of God. Mm-hmm. And, my Boscadale friends, we would do well in our times of thoughtful Bible study to put ourselves in the setting of those biblical characters as they touch and relate to our lives and our own claims of the precious promises of God. But without being specific, without references here as far as some of the details are concerned, we can absolutely be certain that there are godly principles we too can claim as our own. And they're in virtually every promise of God to his people. Because of this truth, people who are open and receptive to God's word have found the Bible to be a living book. And some of the great messages that are spotlighted from its very beginning to its final conclusion that we just reviewed are God's faithful promises all through there. What you find through serious study is that his promises are for us, for now, in the present, in our own time. Some promises are concerning the past and lessons that we're to learn from that. Some promises haven't gotten here yet, but they're coming soon. Promises for the future. And all of his positive promises are for us, his family, his children. Well, since we are obviously living now, let's start with God's promises that are for the present. And here's a good starting caution. We must not make the mistake, it's a fatal mistake, of some would-be scholars, of studying the Bible as a mere historical depository of the activities of God in the ancient past, and only that, only in the past. You know, they have that great clockmaker theory. God started creation up. He started like a clockmaker. He wound it all up, and then he stepped back and is now just watching it run. So we can't make that mistake. The Bible, as we have it, is, well, it's somewhat that we look at creation, but it is far more than that. just God being a clockmaker with his only involvement being that of the past. That's not all there is. It is a living, continuing revelation of what God did in the ancient past, and then by extending sincere Bible study, finding and revealing what God wants to continue to do in the hearts and lives of those who will trust and obey him. God's promise to bless Abraham, as he gave himself in obedience to his godly redemptive purpose, is a promise that is applicable to the heart and life of every person who is seeking eagerly and earnestly to follow and do the will of God in the present. And we find this promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The first parts of the promise, verses 1 and 2, were specifically for Abraham. His name was to be great among all nations. But the continuing promise, verse 3, extends to us here and now. What he was promised and what we are promised is, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. When we discover what God's will is for our life, as Abraham was having as one called to a whole new life, even at an advanced age, we should do what Abraham did. We should arise and depart for our responsibility and our place of opportunity. That's what Abraham did. We can be absolutely certain that the living Lord will accompany us because he has promised to do so. You know, Matthew 28:20. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Study the Bible, discover this promise, and make it your very own. Move forward spiritually now. Grow in obedience. Trust the Lord's promise to bless you this day, to bless you this week, to bless you in your present time, to help you as time goes by. And you will always find that he has never broken any promise that he has spoken.
Amen. Amen.
Well, as you grow, as you look at and you study the biblical record of the Old Testament, finding for yourself, you're going to also find God's promises recorded in the Old Testament. Acts 10:43, now that's not Old Testament, but Acts 10:43 says that. Long before Jesus came, the Old Testament prophets testified that God is eager to forgive the sins of those who will put their faith in his Messiah. Those are the words of Simon Peter as he met on a God-assigned audience with the Gentile soldier, Cornelius. Peter said, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. All the prophets, he wasn't talking about his own time there. He was talking about what God had been doing through prophets all through the ages. You know, all of us are sinners, and all of us have come short of the glory of God. That's what Romans 3:23 says. And the Heavenly Father is not eager to remember our sins. He receives no delight in punishing sin. And we know that now, and looking to the promises of the past, we are assured that God has always wanted to forgive our sins, has always wanted to remove from us the record of our transgressions. Always, always, even before Jesus. Look to and study to fully digest a great Bible record of the past. Isaiah 43:25. Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Isaiah quoting the words of God. The biblical record of olden times even as far back as this prophet Isaiah, is that when God forgives our sins, he also forgets them. Amen. Remember your sins no more.
Amen.
When God forgives, he forgives completely and forever. And he will not dig up an old charge and hold it against us. The testimony of long past sacred scripture, testimony of King David, is that he forgives all of our iniquities and removes them from us. And I quote David's Psalm 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Well, reviewing God's promises of the past, claiming his promises for right now, the present time for us, we're also blessed to see that his promises are there for the future. Not just new promises, but future promises that he made long ago. Mm-hmm. With our Bible text of today, all the way back to Joshua, we see God promising Joshua that for his future, he would go before him, he would be with him, just like he had done, just like he had promised with Moses. That's verse 3 if you're looking at your bulletin. Verse 3 and following that. In the same way, the Lord Jesus promised those who were following him that he would be with them to provide light for the road ahead, for their future road. John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Mm-hmm. It'll be out there for you in the future. In the beginning of his ministry, the Lord spoke to his disciples who were going to be his apostles, and he said, "Follow me." And toward the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus spoke to Simon Peter and repeated this invitation and command, "Follow me." He had promised repeatedly that he would provide guiding light for their road ahead as his disciples journeyed through life in obedience to his call. Mm-hmm. In today's world, well, I hate to say this, in today's world that is threatened with forces over which we as individuals have basically no control, we desperately need a living faith in the promises of God that he will be with us in our future. Mm-hmm. God has promised to be with us as long as our earthbound life lasts. He has promised to be with us for eternity. Heaven itself is pictured as a home where God is, where sickness and sorrow and suffering nevermore come to bring what this world constantly and sometimes fiercely brings, trouble and tragedy, into the lives even of God's people. You see, the good news, the great news for us, is that God's promises, all of them that the Bible tells us, and the blessed promises that are still to come, are for his children. God has revealed himself most clearly in the fullness of time through Jesus Christ among us here on earth as a loving father who provides for his own. And here's some of what the Word of God promises for all of our future. And I'm just going to give you several scripture references. So if you got a pen and paper, which, you know, I do encourage you that occasionally, you can write down these references, and then, goodness, you can actually go back and do some Bible study. God's promises to hear the prayers of his children and to answer them according to his wisdom and power. As he promises us, Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. Our Lord promises rest for the weary. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. We can rejoice in the promise of eternal love from God. Romans 8, 35 through 39. And we have the promise of our Lord Jesus, of his abiding presence with those of us who meet together in his name, like this, Matthew 18:20. And as his forever promise, we have our Lord's promise of an eternal home, a glorious home, a mansion at the end of our way, John 14:2. Okay, I'm going to read that one to you since it's a promise for your future. And by the way, I really like the idea of a mansion. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. That's his promise that you can look forward to. Well, God has made exceedingly great and precious promises to the saved. But he's also made promises to unbelievers, to those who are unsaved. You see, if you know someone who is not yet a saved Christian, I would ask that you would share these promises with them. Here's something you share with them. Hey, Joe, if you've never yet opened your heart inviting Jesus Christ to come in as Lord and Master of your life, you should be encouraged to know that God has promised to forgive and cleanse you if you will confess and repent of your sin. Repentance means that you forsake in your heart the desire to follow wicked ways and that you're now coming to God for mercy and pardon. Well, you could pick that up in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Another one, to an unsaved person. Jesus Christ has promised to accept everyone who will come to him in faith for salvation. John 6:37. There's another one, to the unbeliever. Christ has promised to enter the heart of every person who responds by opening the door when he comes, requesting entrance. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3:20. And of course, there's this one. This one has been called the greatest verse of Scripture. So just go ahead and give them John 3:16. That single, totally packed with promise verse offers the promise of everlasting life to every person who will put faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then, friends, give every unsaved person this invitation. An invitation I'd love to give all the time. If there's anyone here today who's not sure of your eternal life, if you're here and you're not sure of your eternal life, you say this to an unsaved person. Put your faith in Christ and his promises today and let him become the Lord, the leader, the friend of your own heart and life.